This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. A monument to the Ten Commandments has been moved from its place in the rotunda of Alabama's judicial building in Montgomery. A federal judge had ordered it moved, ruling that it violated the Constitution's religious establishment clause. Monument supporter Emily Klein says she vows to fight on.
It's very disappointing, but it's not the end, and we aren't going to stop fighting it, and we will continue to do our best to make sure that judges are not able to stop, to come in and interfere with the states and take away their sovereignty of states.
Alabama's Chief Justice refused to follow the order and was suspended as a result. The Reverend Pat Mahoney described the removal of the monument as a tragic day for religious liberty. He pleaded for more people to come to Montgomery to swell the ranks of the protesters. The monument was moved to a non-public location in the building. Two U.S. soldiers have been killed and five others wounded in separate attacks in Iraq. The violence comes as a major international relief agency evacuated its staff amid fears that humanitarian workers will also be targeted by those fighting the U.S.-led occupation. From Washington, Catherine Drew reports.
In the latest U.S. deaths, a soldier was killed and three were wounded in a roadside bombing in the city of Fallujah, west of Baghdad. A second soldier was killed in another attack on a military convoy in the capital. Elsewhere in Iraq, two Iraqis were killed in separate incidents after launching attacks on U.S. troops. Three Iraqi policemen were killed following a shootout with criminal suspects in Baghdad. The London-based aid agency Oxfam has evacuated its staff, saying the country has become too dangerous in which to operate programs. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank have also pulled out their workers, and some United Nations staff left Iraq following last week's bombing of the UN headquarters. Catherine Drew, Washington.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
Preparations for the upcoming trial of Washington, D.C. area sniper suspect John Allen Muhammad are gaining momentum. Muhammad is being tried in Virginia Beach, Virginia, after winning a change of venue request from Prince William County. Virginia Beach officials say they have plans to close a street, restrict access, and provide security at the courthouse, as well as build a temporary parking lot to handle the expected media onslaught. Virginia Beach officials say they expect to allocate $800,000 to accommodate the trial. The estimate does not include the $1.2 million price tag estimate by Prince William County officials.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tough. You got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
The National Zoo in Washington, D.C. is defending itself from accusations of poor animal care after several recent deaths at the facility. Zoo Director Lucy Spellman says the zoo faces many challenges in providing adequate care. She points to staffing problems, a lack of adequate funding, older facilities, and an aging population of animals. Spellman says officials are looking to address the challenges. A fundraising effort has been launched to help make up for money shortages. Renovations are underway to restore worn exhibits. A panel is looking into animal care issues and will inspect facilities at both the National Zoo and its conservation center in Virginia. On Wall Street, stocks were mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 7 points to close at 93.34. The S&P 500 was up fractionally to close at 9.97. The only positive news on the tech side, with the NASDAQ gaining 11 to finish at 17.82. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Lycus with another Car Clinic Minute. A Ragtop Day is my favorite road trip tune. But before you put your convertible top down, you should know how to keep it up. When I come back, I'll give you the buzz.
I'm Bobby Lycus on the street, talking to people who love their cars.
Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Roger Maharis did it on Route 66, and Jimmy Buffett perfected it on A1A. I'm talking about cruising with a top down, the perfect summer sport. For a major league convertible top, bathe it with car wash, never detergent. Use a soft cloth or sponge, except for plastic rear windows. They're so pliable that even a sponge will scratch. And save your elbow grease for your car. Waxing vinyl will dry it out. Instead, use a vinyl protectant. Now you're ready for championship cruising. I'm Bobby Lycus. Lycus, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. If you'd like to join in. Also, the email address, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Too Stupid to Be President was at the 85th Annual American Legion National Convention in St. Louis yesterday. And we're going to get into a little bit deeper as the program progresses tonight. But I want you to hear his opening statements at that convention, where he thanks his fellow veterans for serving America like he did.
Thanks for that warm welcome. It is great to be here in St. Louis, Missouri at the 85th Annual Convention of the American Legion. I wonder if I'm the only member here today from Post 77 in Houston, Texas. It is always an honor to be with people who have served America and who love America.
It's amazing, isn't it? This is a guy who used his family connections to get into a Texas Air National Guard unit of rich people, and then goes AWOL. Now, except for the fact that Vietnam, the conflict there, was not a declared war, except for that one minor detail, then Bush deserted his unit. The gall of this guy to say, I wonder if I'm the only member here today from Post 77 in Houston. It's always an honor to be with people who have served America. Oh, my God. God, I mean, it's astonishing, isn't it? How does Bush do that? What is this cognitive dissonance that he is able to maintain inside his vacuous little head? That he can stand there in front of people who did serve in the military, some of whom were in combat, some of whom were wounded, none of whom, one supposes, well, I guess that's not fair, probably some of these AMVETs or American Legion people also dodged and ducked into the so-called champagne units, but I'll bet the majority of them did not. But to stand there, to stand in front of these adults and say, I wonder if I'm the only member here today from Post 77 in Houston, Texas. Oh, God. We'll we'll get to it later. Have I said yet how tonight how much I hate this man? Oh, I haven't? Okay. Oh, my God. Oh, well. The Ten Commandments thing. I don't know if you're aware of this, but all this fal de ral, there's a word you don't hear very often, right? In Montgomery over the past several days. And I do want to talk about this a little bit. Oh, my God. Okay, take a deep breath, Mike. So many things to bitch about, so little time. But aside from this grandstanding by these insane people in Montgomery, Alabama, did you know that on July 23rd, shortly before Congress recessed, the Republican-controlled U.S. House of Representatives voted to bar the use of federal funds to implement the ruling against Judge Roy Moore? In essence, they voted 260 to 161 to block enforcement of the U.S. Constitution. Now, every one of these useless swine in the U.S. House that voted this way took an oath when they were sworn into office to uphold the Constitution of the United States. They have now voted to defile, to urinate all over the Constitution of the United States by a vote of 260 to 161. Back in July, on the 23rd, before they all took off for their August vacations. Now, passage of that House amendment had no real effect on the course of events in Montgomery. The course of events in Montgomery was dictated by the psychopathic former Alabama State Chief Supreme Court Justice and these weaselly, almost unspeakable so-called Christians who slithered around the front steps of that public building over the past few days. With Congress in recess, the measure that they voted on, 260 to 161, had no chance to become law. And since that vote, the eight other justices on the Alabama Supreme Court overruled Moore by voting to obey the federal court's order. Now, that made the removal of the monument the responsibility of state officials, not federal marshals. So when these people talk about a federal judiciary interfering, they are lying through their teeth. Thou shalt not lie, you freaks. It was not. The order was not handed down by the United States Supreme Court. The United States Supreme Court refused to hear it. The Alabama Supreme Court said, get it out of here. But the vote by 260 representatives to the United States House not to use federal money to enforce the Constitution is mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. Think about it. Thank you. Just incredible. Now, I watched it on television this morning, early for me, about 9:30 in the morning, laying in bed, flip on CNN, and there are four or five state employees in the Alabama Judicial Building, whatever they call it, prying this chunk of granite up so that they could place underneath it wheels, some sort of a wheel thing. And they finally got it under, and three or four of them just rolled it away. That was it. Now, I don't understand this. It took Roy Moore and his band of religious thugs, what did I read, Kathy, 7 or 8 hours to install this thing? And it took the state authorities about an hour less to remove it? Get it the hell out. Now, where is it? It's hiding in a back room someplace. It's still in that building. They don't dare bring it out. All these so-called Christians would just fall on it, roll around it. You ever watch a dog? You ever take your dog for a walk and it comes on a pile of other dogs' doo-doo and it just has to roll in it, right? That's what these people remind me of. I saw one guy on television. It must have been for half an hour. Some white burr-headed freak laying there on his stomach with his face pressed into the concrete. I don't know. Was it a protest? I have no idea. Was he dead? I can't believe that there's a national dialogue about this. I cannot believe that I'm talking about it. I cannot believe that in the year 2003, year of our Lord, 2003, this is an issue. John Long, writing at Counterpunch, has a completely different take on it. He says that Chief Justice Roy Moore is right. That 5,000-pound monument to the Ten Commandments should be displayed in every courthouse in America. Because without the Ten Commandments, well, our laws are absolutely meaningless. Why is there any debate about this? Forget that misguided Age of the Enlightenment concept of the separation between church and state that, oh, I don't know who, Thomas Jefferson was so fond of. Forget a lot of the really bad ideas that came out of the Enlightenment, like, oh, I don't know what, science, math, history, physics, astronomy. Forget it. Forget the fact that the U.S. government was founded as a secular democracy and not a Christian theocracy by deists, not evangelical Christians. Forget that inconvenient treaty of 1797 with Tripoli, signed by President John Adams, that ratified unanimously by the Senate, our Senate, that unambiguously states the following, quote, "The government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion," end quote. But what the hell, Tripoli's not even a country anymore, right? Isn't that part of Libya now? Who runs Libya? Oh, yeah, that terrorist, Muammar Gaddafi. That's right. Now, let's not consider there's no mention of Christianity or Jesus Christ in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, any of the amendments, or the Declaration of Independence. Obviously, that's an oversight. Moore's Alabama, John Long writes, should become a legal model for the rest of the country. A few minor changes, though, are needed in that state's current legal system to reflect the new importance of the Ten Commandments. Now, it should be noted here, in keeping with the idea of truth, that there's disagreement between Jews, Catholics, and Protestants in the actual wording and numbering of the Ten Commandments. But since there's obviously not a lot of Catholics or Jews in Alabama, let's just go with the Protestant version that Judge Moore installed at the court. Number one, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me." Okay, sorry, Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and atheists. We think y'all are real nice, except the atheists, but you're no longer welcome here in Alabama. Okay, you can live here. Just don't expect to build mosques or temples, which are henceforth illegal. Number two, "thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images." Okay, "the large statue of Jefferson Davis on the north side of the Alabama Capitol Building, Montgomery, must be immediately destroyed, along with the countless bronze renderings of legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant found throughout the state, and most importantly..." You ever been to Birmingham? "That cast iron colossus of the pagan god Vulcan has to come down right now. Number three, "thou shalt not take the Lord thy God, the name of the Lord thy God, in vain." Okay, in Old Testament times, blasphemy was punished by stoning. Now, we won't go that far in Alabama, but you will be given a ticket. And yes, you can forget about watching NYPD Blue or listening to that filthy Mike Malloy. Four, "remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy." Okay, from now on, the Alabama Crimson Tide and Auburn Tigers will play their college football games on Sunday, since the Sabbath lasts from Friday at sunset to Saturday at sunset. Unfortunately, all the other colleges play on Saturday, so this means Alabama and Auburn will have to play each other every week. Hey, that's not too bad, is it? Huh? Number five, "honor thy father and thy mother." Okay, children who fail to obey their parents are subject to punishment. The Old Testament was stoning to death. But now when parents threaten to turn their misbehaving kids over to the police, they can really mean it. "Come here, Junior! Your ass is gone here! Go!" "Thou shalt not kill." That's number six. Okay, in recognition of this sixth commandment, Alabama officials renounce the death penalty. Also, no young men or women from Alabama will be allowed to fight in any wars. Number seven, "thou shalt not commit adultery." Uh-oh. Number eight, "thou shalt not steal." Okay. Number nine, "thou shalt not bear false witness." All lies are henceforth illegal. So parents, you must stop telling your children that there's a Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and Tooth Fairy. Number 10, "thou shalt not covet."
Hey, Mom. here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Ugly
weapon. They flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
And wasn't there a moment when they were wheeling that thing away when they had it up on cinder blocks? God, that is so Alabama, isn't it? I mean, I'm not. No offense to our listeners in Alabama, but it's so Georgia, too. I guess what I'm trying to say, it is so Southern. What was it Jeff Foxworthy said? You might be a redneck if your house has wheels, but your car doesn't. One of our correspondents, frequent correspondent, Jerky, hi Jerky, sent me this top 10 alternative uses for that Ten Commandments monument. Number 10, flip it over and use it as an altar upon which to perform sacrificial blood offerings to Satan. Well, he's not called Jerky for nothing. Number nine, slowly lower it on top of that idiot preacher who suffocated an 8-year-old autistic Milwaukee boy to death last week by sitting on his chest during an exorcism. The same horrific fate should befall any other member of that ridiculous Christian coven who was stupid enough to take part. Number eight, make it a cornerstone for a brand spanking new abortion clinic. Number seven, put it in an overgrown field with an outhouse, a rusted out Cadillac, an abandoned refrigerator, and voila, redneck Stonehenge. Number six. Make it a paperweight for God's legal briefs in the upcoming post-Armageddon sentencing trials. Number nine, use it as ballast on the converted cruise ship where President W. will have to live in exile because, after his removal from office and the subsequent investigations, trial, and horrific revelations of criminal conspiracy on a barely imaginable scale, no other country on earth will be willing to take him in. Number four, auction it off on eBay and use the proceeds to help pay for upgrades to Alabama's crumbling and antiquated infrastructure. Number three, convert it into 2 tons worth of marble floor tiles for a gay bathhouse. Number two, use it as a tombstone for Charlton Heston once he finally kicks the bucket. Number one, take a sandblaster and scour away the commandments, then replace them with the First Amendment. I like number seven best, Jerky. Put it in an overgrown field with an outhouse, a rusted-out Cadillac, an abandoned refrigerator, and voila, redneck Stonehenge. Now, see, I'm going to have a lot of people write me. I'm going to get emails. They're going to say, hey, did you post that on your website? I can't post that. Well, maybe Kathy can make a page because I know a lot of you want this, but it came as an email. Thanks, Jerky. Can you do that? Can you do it, Kathy? She shakes her head. No, leave me alone. She says I got enough to do. Oh, my God. I swear this story in Alabama, it's just, you know, Alabama is dealing with all sorts of catastrophes. Monsanto destroyed half the state. The army has destroyed the other half, using it as a dump for weapons of mass destruction of the most vile kind, poisonous gases and toxic chemicals and death and destruction that goes back 40 years. Oh, my God, the state is dead broke. The governor, they can't finish their road construction. The governor's appealing to, I don't know what, Christians? To go ahead and put the tax burden on wealthy people and corporations. But what is the story that media focuses on and this tacky radio program? The Ten Commandment Monument. Oh, my God. Oh, you're not playing John Ashcroft. Okay. Quick break. We'll be back. And to your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Now there's lots of folks acquiring, and even more aspiring to have things and toys and stuff that bucks can't buy. They got boom boxes blasting, big bass boats and casting, more new tricks and trucks than you and I could ever hope to try. They got four-wheel drives turning, credit cards just burning, seeking kicks and highs on which you can't rely. There's just one thing satisfying, he's the one who did our dying, and he's a waiting in the city in the sky. Now there's lots of folks have been thanking, that real joy it comes from drinking at the world of pleasures that the world provides. But the fleeting hides their feeling, gonna send you rocking, reeling with an end.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The safety of humanitarian aid workers in Iraq is a political football now at the United Nations. Mexico has introduced a resolution to the UN Security Council that would classify attacks on aid workers as war crimes, but the United States is blocking the resolution because it refuses to recognize the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. Meanwhile, the exodus of humanitarian groups and their staffs from Iraq continues. Most members of the Red Cross left the country this weekend, and the UK-based charity Oxfam evacuated its staff yesterday.
Workers at Yale University are on strike. The walkout of some 4,000 clerical, food service, custodial, and maintenance workers began just after midnight and is certain to cause havoc at the university just as students return to campus for the fall semester. Although the two unions of Yale workers recently dropped many of their core demands, including improved medical and dental coverage, the university is unwilling to accept salary increases that would bring Yale employees in line with workers at the University of Connecticut. Tom Gaudioso is a former president of HERE Local 35, representing blue-collar Yale workers.
I think the university just feels once again that the workers are not going to stand together, and I think we're going to surprise them again.
Both unions say they'll call off the strike if Yale agrees to send talks into binding arbitration, but so far university officials have refused.
It's been 1 week since 30,000 South Korean truck drivers went on strike protesting increased fuel taxes and tolls. The government has pledged not to let the strike get out of hand and is brandishing both the carrot and the stick. Arrest warrants have been issued for 8 union leaders, and fuel subsidies for striking truckers were cut off at midnight. At the same time, the government's promising to waive toll collection on truckers who go back to work.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda, I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Dr. John is calling from Springfield, Missouri. Hey, Dr. John.
Hey, Mike. I tell you what, I think number 7 is the best, too, and tell Kathy to get it up.
Yeah,
I don't have to try to write it down in the morning from White Rose.
Yeah, we're going to try to get it posted. We sent a copy to our webmaster. Hopefully he can put it up so people can download it. That was very good.
Oh, that was great. Hey, listen, Mike, if you're going to talk about the Ten Commandments, though, and for the sake of your own reputation, you've got to get it right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and particularly that number 9. It says something about coveting your neighbor's ass.
That's true.
Then I want you to know that nobody, and I do mean nobody, covets my neighbor's ass. Not while I'm, And if I were 30 years younger, I would give anything
if somebody would covet yours.
Right. That's right. Now then, the big question,
Dr. John, I think they meant a donkey.
Oh, is that it?
I may be wrong.
Well, the big question of the night, though, Mike, is can anybody use Alabama, ass, and fundamentalist in the same sentence?
Probably.
No, not the. Oh, the dog. Oh, it's a donkey.
Yeah. Well, I just remember when I used to go to Southern Baptist Church Sunday school, and I used to just get real squirmy in my seat, 5 years old, and I had to say, "And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's ass." Oh, Lord! I just thought that was so obscene.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's downright nasty. And, I mean, do we want that inside of one of our public buildings?
I wouldn't think.
I don't think it said that, though, exactly. The tablet's kind of, you know, they strayed a little bit from,
yeah,
the wording.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, listen, that number 7, I'm going to send that. I do remember that one.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send it out to all my friends right now by itself.
That'll be good.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. John. See what you started, Jerky? Oh, man. All right. I guess we'll keep this going. Yeah, what the hell. David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. Good show. Good start right off.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I happen to think you've, of course, heard of Skull and Bones, right?
Oh, sure.
Now, if you think of Skull and Bones as a satanic organization,
mm-hmm,
or as near to it, you know, an organization that was founded by the opium smugglers of China, you,
yeah,
know, the they made their fortune and virtually caused the opium, what was it, the Boxer Rebellion.
Not to mention an offshoot of the SS.
Sure, yeah, there were a bunch of them in there, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got this satanic organization hidden onto the campus of Yale that desires the need of fundamentalist Christians to bomb the shit out of, or well, let's say hell. How about that?
Okay.
You remember hell, or excuse me, you remember Eden, right?
Yeah, I remember
between
Eden.
Between the Tigris and Euphrates.
Yes.
Iraq.
Right, that's right.
So the satanic organization urging the bombing of Iraq and getting loyal Christians to back them up all the way,
well,
that sounds pretty unique.
Well, I have a soundbite that I'm going to play for you a little bit later on tonight of Bush at the American Legion National Convention, where he literally tries to incite a holy war. You're not going to believe it, but I've got it, okay? No, I'm not going to play it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit later.
Well, you know, this fundamentalist kick he's on, I think that's all, what did the CIA always call it when they wanted to do a cover-up? Plausible deniability.
Sure.
So, in this case, Bush is hanging around some genuinely evil people. I don't think any Christian thinks that Dick Cheney is a righteous man. Yet they all say that Bush is such a holy guy, you know?
Yeah.
Yet everybody in the know says that Dick Cheney's in charge.
Right.
So, you know, what's the real story here, you know? Are they all willing dupes? So it goes right back to, you of course remember the old comedian Lenny Bruce.
Yes.
And he had a little shtick called Religion Incorporated. And Religion Incorporated was this, you know, the business of religion.
Yeah.
You know, making sure that things happen. So when Nixon was in deep trouble with Watergate, he knew he had to get some Al-Qaedas to back him up.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to get some true loyalists that would back him up.
Yes,
so he
did.
Latched on to the early anti-abortionists and called and came up with a PR campaign to call them pro-life.
That's it.
And so he's since had this little Al-Qaeda army. And I wonder how many of those people realize that they've been duped for all of these years by these Nixon, CIA, Oliver North.
They don't care. I honestly believe they don't care. If you presented this evidence for them, carved in stone, so to speak, it still wouldn't register because in their minds they're doing God's work. So
well, they really believe it when, you know, when Eden is being bombed by Skull and Bones?
Yeah. Well, they don't see it as, I don't think they see it as Eden. If they do see it as Eden, it's in the hands of those terrible, filthy Muslims. So it should be bombed and then cleansed and scoured and salted. And maybe, 20 years from now, it'll be worth the footpads of true Christians and possibly a few Jews.
Well, of course, Religion Incorporated will be there to sell you the items that you need to prove that you were in the Holy Land.
Yes, they will.
So,
they will
indeed. You know, that'll... Hey, one last thing.
Sure.
I just happen to think that, you know, there's two different neat opportunities for impeachment lately.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got this new news that Bush knew that the people in New York were in imminent danger because of PCBs and,
right, from
and
the explosions,
hazardous
right.
wastes in the air from 911.
Right.
It was dangerous up there for 9 months,
that's
June
right.
of 2002. You know, the EPA officially felt that it was clean up there. Yet Bush ordered the EPA to stay dead silent and keep all those people, peasants working.
Yeah, isn't that an impeachable offense?
Well, that's reckless endangerment at least. But it's tangible because they kept top secrecy about the health and safety of Americans. So, you know, so we got the opportunity to impeach him on that. But we also got the energy crisis. You know, this new energy document stuff proves that Ken Lay was there, given the names for the PERC,
right.
You know, given the names for all of the regulators and all of the special needs that Ken Lay and Enron wanted,
right.
And Ken Lay helped to write it, the energy policy, with his creepy buddies. And that paper just came out the other day. You know, all of the big financial news are talking about it. And so which do you think? Is Gush going to go out by fire or by air?
Well, either way is fine with me. The problem is, in order to impeach this thug, it takes somebody or a group of somebodies in the U.S. House with enough courage to introduce a bill of impeachment, and then, of course, it takes a Democratic majority to impanel the House Judiciary Committee to begin impeachment. That's not going to happen as long as Tom DeLay is sucking wind. It's just not going to happen.
Oh, well, right? Yeah. Well, he's got to decide himself, you know, if all the people down in his part of the state want, or that his part of the country want to keep paying high gasoline prices.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that it's a plain con why they're paying almost $2 a gallon now, and they're going to keep it going. They Republicans got loyalty nothing to the people that vote for them. They already got the votes written into the computers, right?
So, that's right.
You know, they don't need voters anymore.
No, they don't. All they need is Diebold systems to write the computer programs, and it's infinite Republicanism. Hey, thanks, David.
Hey, night. Peace be with us.
All right, sir. It just gets weirder and weirder, doesn't it? Oh, by the way, in case you didn't know, there was a ceremony in Saudi Arabia today. Actually, tomorrow, but it's today there now. You understand what I'm saying? The last American military unit in Saudi Arabia has left. If you remember, we deployed troops there because of Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait 13 years ago. Was it 13 years ago? 12 years ago. At one point, we had more than 500,000 troops in Saudi Arabia. So there was a brief ceremony at Prince Sultan Air Base in that country from where the no-fly zones over Iraq were enforced for 13 years, and it's over. The 363rd Air Expeditionary Wing, which was stationed at the base, has been deactivated. This is according to the Daily Telegraph in the UK. Dozens of trucks were moving the remaining U.S. military equipment to neighboring Qatar, which has now become the main U.S. military base of operations in the Gulf. The removal, symbolizing the changed U.S.-Saudi relationship since the September 11th attacks in which 15 of the 19 suicide hijackers were Saudi, fulfills the U.S. promise made before the war in Iraq. You see, America no longer needs Saudi Arabia militarily because now we're going to establish permanent bases in Iraq. And oil from Iraq and the Caspian Sea will eventually reduce Saudi influence in OPEC to almost zero. And at that point, of course, that's when Al-Qaeda or bin Laden or whomever begins the slaughter in Saudi Arabia. And that will become the Islamic Republic of Arabia. They will get rid of the Saudi name. So in case you were not aware, I wasn't until I just got this. U.S. troops quit Saudi Arabia. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Bob is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. He's our bureau chief there. Hey, Bob.
All right, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
As it has to do with the email I sent you a while ago on about a story where a group, there's, you know, the playing card wars has been
right.
going on.
Yeah.
The U.S. military produces one. The anti-war people produces one.
Right.
There's one that's been produced called America's Most Unwanted. The thing that gets me is it's produced by a pair of active duty Marine Corps officers.
I know. I read that. Meant to bring it up a week or so ago. Did not. It was always my understanding that active military are not allowed to become political, but in this case...
Yeah, but remember, this is the Bush crime family. If
right.
you criticize Rummy, you're going to get your ass court-martialed.
That's
if
right.
you produce one that says Harry Waxman is a traitor, you're going to get a slide, if not a promotion.
There you go.
Is it, well, you know, and...
How much more can we stand, Bob?
I don't know. I'm sitting down right now with a lot of beers. Personally, it ended on a completely different tact in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, you want to prove your faith? Let's put that two-ton Ten Commandments money up on a forklift, lay your ass under it, and we'll put it on top of your chest. And if God loves you, he'll let you live through it.
You people are getting carried away tonight.
One thing, Mike, on a completely different note.
Yeah.
With Sally Baron.
Yeah.
Just no offense, but up here, everybody refers to the town she lived in as Stoughton. Stoughton.
Oh, did I say Stoughton?
Yes, you did, but that's okay because that's the way it's spelled. We have a lot of Norwegian ancestry people up here, and, well, to be honest, well, you know here, when they talk about the town, it's Stoughton there.
Yeah, okay, I got gotcha.
Yeah, Stoughton, yeah, hey, they have to go to the Stoughton and send to my festival.
Yeah.
You know, she was a great lady there up down here in Stoughton.
Yeah.
Sally Baron, oh, yeah.
Save a couple of Heinekens for me, Bob.
Well, yeah, that definitely.
Yeah, okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir. Oh, my gosh. Paul is calling from Poconos, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike. Good evening.
Hey, hi.
Great show, as usual.
Well, thanks.
I haven't listened to you in the last few days. I briefly caught you when you closed the show two nights ago. I was watching Mars go through the side, and I came in for a few minutes and just caught the last few minutes of your show. And you were talking about Bush's desires with regard to the oil and control of the oil, and I believe you said basically he wants to get the oil down to $1 a gallon, correct?
Well, no. What I said was the killing, the death of American soldiers will stop when gas is below $1.20. That's when the use of our young men and occasionally young women, and again, I had a couple of listeners take me to task because I always say our dead young men, but as far as I know, the people dying now are male. But until our soldiers will continue to die and they'll continue to kill in Iraq until gas is below $1.20, and then the killing will stop. That's how much respect the Bush crime family has for human life.
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I don't think Bush. I know why he's killing our young people. It's for the control of the oil. When you control the oil, you can charge what you want. His friends in Enron and the rest of the world have control of it. They can charge what they want. They have, as far as I'm concerned, Bush has no desire to see oil cheap. He wants control of it so they can charge as much as they want.
Yeah, but
the lack of competition, this is what he's killing our people for.
Right, but you're saying it right there, lack of competition. If there's two, three oil companies that control everything and it costs them essentially about 8 cents per gallon of gasoline to extract it and convert it to gasoline, they'll be more than happy to sell it in the U.S. for under $1.20. Because they have no long-term, they have no wish to see any long-term plan put into place that will stop the destruction of the air we breathe. We had the fifth day in a row here in Atlanta of an orange alert, which is just two below. Don't go outside because you'll die. They have no desire to see the environment protected. They don't care. They don't care that we've reached the peak. This whole peak oil discussion, it's all downward from here because these people honestly believe that they're going to destroy the earth before it ever runs out. They're just going to make a lot of money, have a lot of fun until that destruction occurs.
So I
don't believe that the Bush crime family's supporters would ever allow gas to float above a couple of dollars a gallon. The only reason they do that is to keep Americans willing to support the Bush military machine so that we can continue to kill and be killed. Not us, not you and me, but, you know, our young people can kill and be killed. That's how evil and vile they are.
Yeah, we've gone from $1.45 to $1.80 a gallon here in Pennsylvania in the last 2 weeks because of that power outage, supposedly.
Yeah, actually, it's Clinton's fault. Just remember that.
Well, we know that for sure. All right, Mike.
Paul, thanks for checking in, pal. Appreciate your call. Speaking of all that, two more U.S. soldiers killed in attacks on Iraq today. That brings to 281 the number of soldiers, our soldiers, killed since the war began on March 20th. And since too stupid to be president, hiked his scrotum up around his chin and pranced around the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln, 143 American soldiers have died. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Now I ain't no fan of Saddam Hussein, oh please don't get
didn't we sort this out last time? Was he less evil then than he is now? The stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now? 'Cause it's all about the price of...
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Some websites use outrageous gimmicks to attract visitors, like click here and get three wishes. But at Motel6.com, they have click six web bargains that save you even more off the lowest price of any national chain. And you can only get them when you book online. Sorry, no three wishes, but you will have more money. That's usually wish number one anyway. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Austria.
Penguin.
Quail.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
stop. A few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
When I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Austria.
Penguin.
Quail.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
Thank you.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Diane in Florida suggests that the reason the U.S. military pulled out of Saudi Arabia today is payment to Osama bin Laden for attacking the World Trade Center. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. I've got a pitch to make for you. I you know, try to limit the pitches on this program, but I got one for you. A lot of you people listen to this program courtesy of radiopower.org, Shelby LePray's site. Most of our international audience found this program by going to radiopower.org. It's listed on the iTunes website, I believe. She is in desperate shape. You know, it's the same old story with liberal or progressive enterprises, right? Where it concerns media, where it concerns getting the message out. You know, we don't have the big think tanks and the funds and the money to do things. No, this is not about me. I get paid by IE America, and they pay me well, as far as I'm concerned. But radiopower.org needs some help. All right. The last time I mentioned that website was in dire straits, there was a pretty good response. So maybe what you can do is go to radiopower.org. I'm sure there's information there as to how to contribute $10 or 15 or 20, whatever you want to contribute. Even if you don't listen via radiopower.org, you might want to just keep it going. I know. Everybody on the left gives you a pitch, right? God forbid I should ever even attempt to respond to all the pitches I get from progressive organizations, but I do what I can. And radiopower.org needs your help tonight. So if the spirit moves you, please go to radiopower.org. Find out what's going on there. There will be a means and method where you can make a small contribution. Nobody's asking for big bucks here. You know, if we had 100 listeners send $10, I'm sure it would help. Radiopower.org provides an awful lot of broadcasting via the Internet. It's not just this program. She does all sorts of things there. So, again, if the spirit moves you, please check it out, radiopower.org, and give her a hand, okay? And I don't mean that kind of a hand. I mean, you know, kick in a few dollars. Will you please do that? I would greatly appreciate it. Like I say, I know you got other things to take care of. I understand. But if you got a few extra bucks for radiopower.org, would you donate it? Thanks a lot. Quick break here. We'll be back. Bush, next segment.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Representatives for the U.S. and North Korea sat down for multilateral talks today in Beijing to resolve North Korea's nuclear weapons crisis. Japanese sources say the U.S. has already turned down the North's request for a bilateral non-aggression treaty. The U.S. has insisted no deals will be made until Pyongyang abandons its suspected nuclear weapons program. Today's talks lasted about a half an hour. Such a meeting was always demanded by Pyongyang, but Washington had previously insisted on only multilateral talks to end the crisis. North Korea says its construction of nuclear weapons is meant as a deterrent to any plans the U.S. might have to replace Kim Jong-il's government. Further talks, which also include diplomats from Russia and China, will be held over the next 3 days. Former Baylor basketball player Carlton Dotson has been indicted for the murder of former teammate and roommate Patrick Dennehy. The indictment charges Dotson shot and killed Dennehy on or about June 12th and left his body in a rock quarry near the Baylor University campus. Dennehy's body was not found until July 25th. Today's indictment now clears the way for Texas Governor Rick Perry to sign the extradition papers to bring Dotson back to McLennan County to stand trial. Dotson has been held at the Kent County Detention Center in Maryland since he turned himself into police in July. Since the death of Dennehy, Baylor basketball coach Dave Bliss and athletic director Tom Stanton both resigned their positions after investigators uncovered a number of NCAA violations at the university.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
The first day of classes at Yale University today were highlighted by a major labor action. The union representing some 4,000 Yale workers went on strike as of 5:30 this morning after talks with the school broke down last night. Laura Smith, president of Local 34 of the University Employees Union, says people will understand the workers deserve better pay, benefits, and job security.
We've had already an outpouring of support from all different levels of the community, on the political spectrum, etc.
On the eve of the strike, 8 retired workers staged a sit-in at the Yale Investment Office, upset over pensions they say aren't enough to survive on. Reverend Jesse Jackson joined the workers at the sit-in, spending the night with the elderly retirees. Yale says they have contingency plans in place to deal with the loss of the workers heading out on strike.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
At 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The National Zoo in Washington, D.C. is defending itself from accusations of poor animal care after several recent deaths at the facility. Zoo Director Lucy Spellman says the zoo faces many challenges in providing adequate care. She points to staffing problems, a lack of adequate funding, older facilities, and an aging population of animals. Spellman says officials are looking to address the challenges. A fundraising effort has been launched to help make up for money shortages. Renovations are underway to restore worn exhibits. A panel is looking into animal care issues and will inspect facilities at both the National Zoo and its conservation center in Virginia. Stocks ended the day in mixed territory after a day of light trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 7 points to close at 93.34. The S&P 500 was up by a fraction to close at 9.97. The NASDAQ gained 11 to finish at 17.82. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the family photo album. Always keep a camera handy to capture those special Kodak moments. Like senior proms, graduations, weddings, traffic accidents. Why? When I come back, I'll give you a snapshot. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com. Now, don't get bent out of shape when I advise taking pictures of your car that's bent out of shape in an accident. When accidents occur, emotions run high and details are overlooked, like traffic and road conditions. And those involved don't always see or remember the same thing. What's at stake? Who pays, of course? Keeping an inexpensive disposable camera in your car ready to capture the moment is no accident. One of these pictures could be worth a thousand words and a lot of dollars, too. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. Two U.S. soldiers killed today in Iraq Wednesday. That brings the death toll of American soldiers to 281. Since Bush's war began on March 20th, and of that 281, more than half, 143 American soldiers have been killed now since Bush pranced around the deck of the the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln. In addition to that bad news, the Red Cross is gone, the UN is pulling back, and the international relief agency Oxfam said that it has pulled its foreign staff out of Iraq because the security level in that country had deteriorated to the point where the group could no longer operate. Now, I seem to remember the Bush crime family assuring not just the American people, primarily the American people, but also the rest of the world, that the Iraqi people would just greet us with open arms and love us to death. There'd be a major defeat. Democracy and freedom and justice and the American way of life would be superimposed over Iraq in a matter of, a couple of weeks. Remember that? Oxfam began withdrawing its international staff members 2 days ago, completed the move within 48 hours. The London-based aid group said or had been working on water and sanitation projects with UNICEF, another one of those nasty-ass UN organizations, right? In Iraq. A spokesman for Oxfam said, "We feel international organizations are becoming increasingly targeted. The breakdown of security in that country has reached proportions that ensure a couple of things. First of all, the withdrawal of all these international relief agencies. Secondly, a refusal. And I don't care how many times Paul Bremer or these liars like Rumsfeld say, oh, yeah, well, we have 39 countries who are contributing soldiers. Yeah, one from Australia now, one from Austria, one from Serbia. Well, we have 54 nations who have pledged money. Yeah, okay, you lying dogs. You lying dogs. Bush... at the American Legion National Convention. What's the word? Chutzpah. That's the word. If Bush deserves credit for anything, and he does, he deserves credit as being a phenomenal liar. He deserves credit for being a destroyer of the American way of life. He also deserves credit for the brass to appear in front of real veterans. It's astonishing. Before we give you some of his sound bites, John in Middletown, Connecticut emailed in, "Hello, Mike. I just read on TakeBackTheMedia.com that George W. Bush has not attended one single solitary funeral of any of our dead soldiers. Not one." On December 13, 2002, in an interview with Barbara Walters on ABC, "Too Stupid to Be President" said the following, quote, "There's only one person who is responsible for making that decision, and that's me. And there's only one person who hugs the mothers and the widows, the wives and the kids on the death of their loved ones. Others hug, but having committed the troops, I've got an additional responsibility to hug, and that's me, and I know what it's like." End quote. John goes on. "He has time to golf, to clear brush, to have barbecues, but no time to attend the funeral of any soldier for which he is directly and solely responsible. Remember when the right-wingers were having fits over Hillary Clinton not attending funeral services for 911 victims, when in actuality she had attended those to which she was invited and for those whom she knew? Slap the hell out of the right-wingers for me tonight, will you please? Warmest regards, John in Middletown, Connecticut." I don't want to make that close to personal contact with right-wingers, with Republicans, John. Or I would. I'd be more than willing to slap the hell out of a right-winger, out of a Republican, but that means I'd have to touch their cold, clammy, death-dealing flesh, even for a moment, and I just don't want to do that. I truly don't. Rather cuddle up to a zombie than slap a right-winger. But, yeah, John's point is very clear. This punk, this thug, this murderous psychopath that sits in the White House, he has time to scour the country for money. He's running unopposed, for God's sake, in the primary. Scour the country for money. He will suck every dollar he can out of these fat cat right-wingers. And meanwhile, the middle class and the poor who are over there fighting his filthy, disgusting, sickening war and dying by the scores are not worthy of a visit from George W. Bush. And yet he has the audacity to stand in front of the American Legion's National Convention in St. Louis and say some of the following. Let me play for you again after the applause. And Kathy, in listening to the entire thing on C-SPAN, says that the applause, it was there, but it was very tepid. And a couple of times when the applause line was presented by this monster, the audience was quiet. Here's his reference to his service.
"Thanks for that warm welcome. It is great to be here in St. Louis, Missouri at the 85th Annual Convention of the American Legion. I wonder if I'm the only member here today from Post 77 in Houston, Texas. It is always an honor to be with people who have served America and who love America."
Isn't that incredible? It's an honor to be with people. See, if you sat down with George Bush, you couldn't make that statement. You couldn't say, "Well, Mr. Bush, it's always an honor to be with people who have served America." You couldn't do that. He makes a comment here on all the wonderful things he's doing for vets. Now, is this bizarre world or what? You can ask any member of any veterans organization. We get more email at this program about the cuts in veterans benefits, about the slashing, not just veterans benefits, but the slashing of federal government contributions to school districts within which there are huge military reservations, which means there are no tax bases. It just goes on and on and on. George W. Bush is an absolute enemy, the worst enemy, to anybody wearing a uniform in this country. He is more of an enemy than the people our soldiers face on the battlefield, because George Bush is a liar. Listen to this lie.
"The budget for Veterans Affairs has gone up by $15 billion since I took office, a 30% increase. And my budget for fiscal year 2004 includes the largest discretionary increase for the Department of Veterans Affairs ever requested by a president.
Can you imagine that? He stands there and lies. But thank God he's not lying about sex with his girlfriend, right? Now, here, I want you to hear this, and we're going to play it. Kathy, I want you to play this twice, okay? Here he reminds not just the members of the American Legion National Convention, but everybody. He reminds everybody about how the terrorists hate Christians and Jews. Now, George, you dumbass, they hate Americans. But listen to this. Listen to this.
Great challenge came to America on September the 11th, 2001. Enemies who plotted for years in secret carried out missions of murder on our own soil. They attacked the civilized world because they bear a deep hatred for the values of the civilized world. They hate freedom and religious tolerance and democracy and equality for women. They hate Christians and Jews.
Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I'm just stunned. I am just knocked down. Just knocked down. Terrorists don't whittle Americans down into little groups, George. They hate us all because we keep killing them and stealing their oil and trying to bring the 21st century into the kind of situation they prefer, which is 16th century. But listen to this again. I mean, this has to be... I don't know. Isn't this what Richard the Lionhearted might have said? You know, as he led one of the Crusades into the Middle East centuries ago. Doesn't this sound so medieval?
Great challenge came to America on September the 11th, 2001. Enemies who plotted for years in secret carried out missions of murder on our own soil. They attacked the civilized world because they bear a deep hatred for the values of the civilized world. They hate freedom and religious tolerance and democracy and equality for women. They hate Christians and Jews.
Wow. You know, there's a good chance one day in the future when W goes on to his warped view of the afterlife, his great reward, his God is going to ask him to justify all the deaths he's caused, starting with the execution of innocent people in Texas. And this punk will start to answer, well, we were attacked on 911, so we had to smoke them out. And he'll be cut off because at that moment his God will have pinched off his head and tossed it into hell so the demons have something to play soccer with. Still lying. I guess we'll have to wait on this one. But we have more of his lies. The next one will be his lying about Iraq's invisible weapons of mass destruction. He will not let that go, see? In bizarre world where this dry, drunk thug lives, it doesn't make any difference what facts or truth is. Stay tuned.
The president raises his eyes like he forgot his lines. He's waiting for some inspiration to awaken his muddled mind. He thinks he hears a still small voice whispering in his ear. Something he learned in Bible camp, or maybe from his daddy dear. Do unto others before they do unto you.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What a hoot it was to watch Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod go on the summer comedy circuit to tout the economic policies of George W. Winkin' was played by Treasury Secretary John Snow, Blinkin' by Commerce Secretary Don Evans, and Nod by Labor Secretary Elaine Chao. They sallied forth in the heat of August to Wisconsin and Minnesota, doing their best to wow the locals with what the White House PR hucksters billed as the Jobs and Growth Tour. With a horde of media types in tow, the Bush cabinet trio traveled in style to 6 cities in 2 days, aboard a luxury motor coach equipped with such rich touches as black leather sofas and a mirrored ceiling. They had the crowds in stitches with their slapstick shtick about how Bush's multi-billion-dollar tax giveaway to the rich would soon trickle down and spread prosperity across the land. It was billed as a dialogue tour, but the dialogue was decidedly one way, with the cabinet honchos insisting at every stop that the economy is picking up and that George himself was concerned about us commoners. At the end of the roadshow, Secretary Snow said that he was going to tell Bush that I ran into a lot of people who asked me personally to express their gratitude to you for worrying and thinking about us. Yeah, George, thanks for the 2.7 million jobs lost under your economic stewardship. Thanks for KO'ing our 401Ks, turning our retirement nest eggs into nightmares. Thanks for the 2 million more Americans who have been left without health care since you took office. Thanks for an economy in which corporations are dumping 200,000 workers a month, now shipping our high-tech and white-collar jobs out of the country. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe the comic cabinet members are fooling themselves, but they're not fooling anyone in the real world. After all, even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked. The Bushites are kicking us.
This crusade, this war on terrorism.
They hate Christians and Jews, so we have to kill all of them. All right, so here he is again, too stupid to be anything but a Houston dog catcher. That would be George Bush, addressing the 85th Annual American Legion National Convention in St. Louis yesterday. Still lying about Iraq's invisible weapons of mass destruction. And again, as you listen to this guy, I mean, if you have a rational mind, it you're stuttering, Mike. It must set your teeth on edge, as it does mine, to hear this.
in Iraq. America and our coalition removed a regime that built, possessed, and used weapons of mass destruction, a regime that sponsored terror, and a regime that persecuted its people. Our military coalition destroyed the Iraqi regime while taking extraordinary measures to spare innocent life. Because of our military, catastrophic weapons will no longer be in the hands of a reckless, unstable dictator.
Oh, does that mean you're going to resign? Really, George? What, have you gotten word from the Joint Chiefs of Staff to get your ass out of D.C.? No, I don't think so. On the Saddam loyalists, as they're called now, killing our soldiers. No matter how many Americans die, George Bush will not retreat.
The terrorists have killed innocent Iraqis and Americans and UN officials from many nations. They have declared war on the entire civilized world.
Jesus.
And the civilized world will not be intimidated. Retreat in the face of terror would only invite further and bolder attacks. There will be no retreat.
Yeah, well, why don't you pick up a weapon, you jackass? Put on that flight suit. Get inside an air, just any sort of aircraft, and go contribute. Oh, never mind. Here he is on his insane doctrine of preemptive strike, which is further destabilizing not just the Middle East, but the entire world.
We've adopted a new strategy for a new kind of war. We will not wait for known enemies to strike us again. The security of this nation and our friends requires decisive action. And with a broad coalition, we're taking that action around the globe. We're on the offensive against terror, and we will stay on the offensive against terror.
Isn't it odd how the only terrorist nations that Bush unleashes the fury of hell against are those nations with lots of oil or access for a pipeline? Gosh, what a coincidence! Trying to justify all the needless deaths of U.S. troops by implying Saddam had weapons that could reach St. Louis. George W. Bush is sick. He is delusional.
In hostile conditions, in remote parts of the earth, brave Americans are sacrificing...
For oil?
For freedom.
And for oil.
And the security of others.
Yeah.
Some have been wounded. Some have been killed.
But to hell with them.
The veterans in this hall understand the loss and sadness that have come to military families.
How about you, George?
Our military is confronting terrorists in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places, so our people will not have to confront terrorist violence in New York or St. Louis.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I've got one more for you, and I'll play it when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Mulroy.
I know what it means to hug mothers and wives.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Mulroy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Looks like.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys have way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out. It's worked out great.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me, because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle. Talks to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
One of the big concerns early on was the southern oil fields. And at least in the south, they are secure. And that is positive news for all of us.
I wonder how positive that news is for the hundreds of American families who have seen one of their sons, husbands, daughters, wives killed in Iraq so that Bush and his monsters can have the southern oil fields in Iraq. Last one. Tepid applause at the end here as he reiterates his cry of victory over all Christian and Jew-hating terrorists who threaten St. Louis with catastrophic weapons from dark caves deep in their oil-rich nations.
Our course is set. Our purpose is firm. No act of terrorists will weaken our resolve.
Quack, quack.
Or alter their fate.
Quack, quack, quack.
Our only goal, our only option,
red rum,
is total victory in the war on terror. And this nation will press on to victory. May God bless you, and may God continue to bless America.
Yeah, okay, George. Now, while we were playing the sound bites of Too Stupid to Find His Jockstrap, we got several emails. Lexi writes in, remember shortly after the invasion began when the father of one of the first casualties, while being interviewed by the news folks, gave it to George with both barrels? Yeah, I remember that. It was a father in the Baltimore area, I believe. Notice, Lexi writes, how they don't interview the grieving families anymore. The dead and their loved ones don't matter. Honest American emotion is also no longer allowed. What? Show up at a funeral? Well, regarding funerals, Shirley writes in, Mike, I have a different take after reading what happens every time Bush goes anywhere. He would ruin a funeral. I would never want him at a funeral because he's so jittery around crowds. His paranoia would ruin any decent funeral, and his presence is an insult to any soldier, living or dead. He overcontrols every visit he makes, including those around the world, where people probably never want to see him again. I hate hearing Bush talk about freedom when he should be locked up. Bush talks to Americans the same way he reads fairy tales to children. What really pisses me off is that Bush lies because no one has ever put him down. He knows he could get up and predict the end of the world, and he would have people jumping off cliffs. No one calls him on his lies. Any Bush speech is a pathetic picture to the world about this country, because not only do intelligent Americans know about the lies, so does the rest of the world. He is such a failure. From Shirley. Jenny writes in from Missouri. Mike, I don't know if you're aware, but 40 enlistees gathered in St. Louis thinking that the deserter was going to swear them into the service. Of course, he was a no-show, as he was in the National Guard. But they did get front row seats to hear him speak. Oh, boy. From Rick in Bellingham, Washington. In Bush's silly speech about what Muslim extremists hate, he forgot to point out that they also hate nuns, orphans, flowers, candy, pretty pictures, beautiful music, sunsets, and cute little kitties. What a moron. From Rick. And JB sends in the quote that you all are familiar with, but it bears repeating. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all of its powers to repress dissent, for the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, and thus by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. Joseph Goebbels, German Minister of Propaganda. Wow. Joe is calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I was going to comment on I've seen the commander, I guess the head man of American Legion on the interview.
Mm-hmm.
On one of the news channels.
Right.
I believe it was yesterday.
Yeah.
They asked him if he still, American Legion still supported Bush. And in a roundabout way, well, he said he did. He said they did. I can't figure all this out. And I asked him about cutting veterans' benefits. Man, there would answer. He just kind of talked around about way about. He did say one thing. Well, we know it takes a long time to win a war.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the guy does not represent me. Nobody from the VFW does not represent me. To me, they're all political. I don't know how come they support the man. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I have never trusted organizations like
that. Well, I realize an organization like VFW or American Legion or what have you can become political, and but it is an association, my experience anyway, it's an association of people who have served in the military. To have George Bush address any service ex-service person organization to me is about the same as having somebody go into a church and urinate on the altar. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's beyond me to understand or to comprehend why the American Legion would invite him to speak.
I don't know why. Did they have a choice? I mean, I'm getting to wonder if people, if they ain't threatened or something. I can't believe what kind of lazy rascal was talking to the VFW post somewhere this week. And I don't know what they said, but. I mean, I flipped her off. I didn't. Matter of fact, I think I heard that on MSNBC on that all in one Bill used to be on Crossfire.
Oh, Bill Press,
yeah.
Buchanan and Press.
Yeah. I think that is. I think that's where I heard them interviewing him.
Yeah.
But it just unbelievable to me. My daddy, he subscribes to American Legion, and he has for years. I'm gonna tell him he'll be very upset.
All right. Well, how are you doing, Joe? Okay? Everything going all right?
Yeah, I can't complain, Mike.
All right, sir. Well, thanks for checking in, Joe.
All right.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Joe is one of our, as you know, one of our cadre of combat vets who provide their insights to this program. Got an email from Larry Wiatrowski in London, England. Mike, please use your resources to compare the number of military funerals with the number of fundraising events that Mr. Bush has attended since the start of his war in Iraq. Well, Larry, you wouldn't have sent that if you didn't already have the answer. Bush doesn't do funerals. He talks about it with Barbara Walters about hugging widows and orphans. But George Bush is a coward and a liar. Our soldiers keep dying in Iraq, and no one seems to want to hear about any of it. Peter Mansbridge, writing for the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, television news, points out that it's a long and very quiet 48 hours. That's the time it takes to fly a giant U.S. Air Force C-5 aircraft from Baghdad through a series of stops to its final destination in Dover, Delaware. You all know what's in Dover, Delaware, right? That's the home of the Charles C. Carson Center for Mortuary Affairs, the largest Department of Defense mortuary. It's where America brings its dead soldiers home. And these days, it's busy. Normally, I guess that would be during the Clinton years, 7 people work at the mortuary center. Since March, when the Iraq War began, there have been as many as 200 on staff. On May 1st, George W. Bush, after landing on an aircraft carrier off the California coast, declared major combat operations over, but in the mortuary, aluminum cases keep arriving. Now, the people who work at the mortuary center, apparently, according to Peter Mansbridge, are very, very helpful. They're willing to answer questions. Just don't ask whether cameras can be present for the arrival of those C-5s, because that's where the employees draw the line. Because, you see, such images can have an effect on not only our emotions, but also on our willingness to continue to support a conflict that is dragging on 281 U.S. lives, and in dollars, the forecast now is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. How much longer are we going to put up with this? How much longer? You know, watching TV late the other night, there's a new history channel. It's a history New York Times. And they had some amazing video, a history of what happened to Slobodan Milosevic after he was defeated by the NATO forces, a war which I did not support, but how he tried to steal the election subsequent to that war. How his chief opponent, Kustinica, got, I think, 75% of the vote. Milosevic said, no, he only got 49%, and because of that, he didn't get a clear majority, so we're going to have a second round of voting. And then what happened next? With the hundreds of thousands of Serbs and Yugoslavians who descended on the federal buildings in that country's capital. How the state police at first tried to stop them, gave up. How the military sided with the demonstrators, and how Milosevic was driven out of office and now is standing trial in The Hague on war crimes, which is exactly what should have happened in this country. The television networks are not going to show the pictures of the dead arriving back in the United States. They were all for it, though, weren't they? Shock and awe! Let's get it on! Kill! Hey, here we go! Hey, hey! Jump ass, let's go! We got embedded people here, we got embedded people there. Hey, hey, let's see, oh, go, 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 go! But now? Why give the story of Americans dying in Iraq any prominence whatsoever? So, as Peter Mansbridge says, when the next C-5 hits the runway at Dover, maybe some enterprising reporter will find a respectful way to show us that landing, and then maybe follow the flag-draped casket to its final resting place. Maybe that reporter will help us meet the family and the friends and the community leaders of the town that lost another soldier, and find out how they feel now about the conflict that the media couldn't wait to cover when it was all shock and awe. In the meantime, George W. Bush goes to his fundraisers and makes his speeches in front of the American Legion. And the dead Americans keep coming back to this country. How much more are we going to take? It's not a rhetorical question. If Bush is telling the truth, which he never does, we're going to stay there until every last drop of oil is extracted from Iraq. We have built permanent military bases from which we can terrorize that part of the globe, and until such time as American soldiers, potential soldiers, say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not fighting for justice. I'm not fighting for freedom. I'm not fighting for the American way. I'm not fighting for anything except to guarantee that George Bush and his thuggish partners get wealthier than they already are. At what point do you think white and black and Latino American young men are going to realize how they're being put in a trick bag every time they see a commercial on television that says be an army of one? How much longer before our young people, I realize young people are easily manipulated, but how much longer before it starts to sink in? Bush doesn't care about me or my family or this country or terrorism or freedom or anything. He is a killer. It is his nature to cause death and destruction. I'm 19. I'm not going to go die for this bastard. How long do you think it'll be before young Americans figure that one out? It didn't take George Bush long to figure it out back in 1972. When was it? 70? Whenever he asked his daddy to save his useless ass and get him in a Texas Air National Guard champagne unit. Didn't take George long to figure it out. Did it. This guy is always running away from something, isn't he? Yeah.
I understand there's going to be loss of life, but I strongly believe we're doing the right thing.
Don't expect me to cry for all the reasons you have to die. Don't ever ask.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day. Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-Day Sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
When I wear black, even a little dandruff shows. And my old dandruff shampoo just wasn't cutting it. I still had flakes and dry scalp. So I switched to Selsun Blue Moisturizing Shampoo with aloe and moisturizers. Doctor recommended Selsun Blue has a proven ingredient to relieve dandruff. Plus, it keeps my hair and scalp healthy and flake-free.
If you see flakes, try Selsun Blue. Selsun Blue Moisturizing Dandruff Shampoo.
I'm telling you, it really works.
Never wear black without the blue. Selsun Blue. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Well, let's move on to somebody who is evil but very bright. That would be Ari Fleischer. At the briefing today,
the job of anybody who is the White House press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking and why he's thinking it. And that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, right. The job of the press secretary is to faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
When do I get to my Game Boy? Hey, it's time for lunch. I want to take a nap. How do you spell Putin? Let me see. Who's the president of Afghanistan?
You know he tried to kill my dad?
Oh, my God. There's Laura with my milk. Faithfully articulate what the president is thinking?
All righty, then.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. You're an idiot.
Durr.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
Best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Molloy.
5 before the hour, we're at 800-TALK-YES. Leland is calling from Santa Fe. Leland, welcome to the program. Your first time calling, I take it.
Yes, I am.
You know, it's amazing to think that I can have my opinion broadcast. I don't know how far and wide you go, but...
Globally.
Well, good. I have been keeping my peace here, but I've been seething inside about the Bush administration, the war. I saw a picture of a kid who lost both of his arms way back early in the conflict. And
yeah, I remember that.
And he ended up appearing, you know, back in the news as having been helped in England.
Right.
He survived. And I put together a bumper sticker based on a Buddhist concept. I'm so disheartened that the only thing I can think of is this concept on this bumper sticker, two concepts from Buddhism. One is that, well, for lack of a better word, suffering and compassion. I mean, this war was about embracing suffering. We are not getting out of this, you know, just because we haven't won, and yet there's this thought we've won, but we've just embraced suffering, mm-hmm. and we've caused suffering. And, I mean, the fact that this just goes on and on, that they don't have the weapons and they, I don't know, it's just very disheartening. I've really lost a lot of spirit over it. But I do have a bit of a, have you thought up the word werewolfowitz for Wolfowitz yet?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's, okay, yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I understand that these people have a deep-seated interest in what they believe in, but it's wrong-headed from my point of view, and it's totally, it's vicious. Mm-hmm. I mean, to think that it's okay to bomb a country to get back at them, and they didn't do it to begin with,
right.
essentially. I know they might have a lot of crap in there that I don't understand, but the point is that he's destabilized the Middle East. We have this sack of horror on our backs for decades to come. I mean, we're going to be bankrupted here.
Yeah.
And to think that it's okay to kill people and bomb a country, you know, and walk in there and act like, you know, you're Roman citizens. Rome was a vicious culture, and we're Roman, I think.
I think you're right. I hear what you're saying, Leland. I hear the cri de coeur that's coming with your comments. I appreciate you calling. I hope you call again.
Thanks.
All right, sir. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day on the IE America Radio Network. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Two U.S. soldiers have been killed and five others wounded in separate attacks in Iraq. The violence comes as a major international relief agency evacuated its staff amid fears that humanitarian workers will also be targeted by those fighting the U.S.-led occupation. From Washington, Catherine Drew reports.
In the latest U.S. deaths, a soldier was killed and three were wounded in a roadside bombing in the city of Fallujah, west of Baghdad. A second soldier was killed in another attack on a military convoy in the capital. Elsewhere in Iraq, two Iraqis were killed in separate incidents after launching attacks on U.S. troops. Three Iraqi policemen were killed following a shootout with criminal suspects in Baghdad. The London-based aid agency Oxfam has evacuated its staff, saying the country has become too dangerous in which to operate programs. The International Monetary Fund and the World Bank have also pulled out their workers, and some United Nations staff left Iraq following last week's bombing of the UN headquarters. Catherine Drew, Washington.
A federal judge in Laredo, Texas, has referred a complaint by 11 Democratic state senators to a three-judge panel that is expected to rule on the matter by mid-September. The Democrats charge that state Republicans are violating the Voting Rights Act in their attempt to redraw the state's congressional districts. As many as five Democratic senators were expected to appear at the hearing, but attorney Rena Hicks says they decided not to come for fear of being arrested and returned to Austin for a third special session of the legislature.
They wanted to set a trap that they called a special session. Five senators walk in quietly in the middle of the night, put a call on the Senate, and then they have goons waiting out here to arrest the senators as they walk out of attending a court hearing where they're trying to get their constitutional rights protected.
The 11 Democratic senators have spent the last 30 days in New Mexico preventing discussions on redistricting from taking place by breaking the quorum in the Senate. Speaking in Houston Wednesday, Governor Rick Perry said he will call for a third special session at some point this year to deal with redistricting once and for all.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
The University of Michigan will announce a new admissions policy tomorrow that will replace the old affirmative action policy struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. The Detroit Free Press reports that while officials have been tight-lipped on the new policy, one source says it will require students to write more essays. The policy is expected to be similar to the one at U of M's law school, which the court upheld. The court ruled the undergrad policy, which awarded extra points for race, didn't give enough attention to each individual student's qualifications.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
The National Zoo in Washington, D.C. is defending itself from accusations of poor animal care after several recent deaths at the facility. Zoo Director Lucy Spellman says the zoo faces many challenges in providing adequate care. She points to staffing problems, a lack of adequate funding, older facilities, and an aging population of animals. Spellman says officials are looking to address the challenges. A fundraising effort has been launched to help make up for money shortages. Renovations are underway to restore worn exhibits. A panel is looking into animal care issues and will inspect facilities at both the National Zoo and its conservation center in Virginia. Stocks ended the day in mixed territory after a day of light trading. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 7 points to close at 93.34. The S&P 500 was up by a fraction to close at 9.97. The NASDAQ gained 11 to finish at 17.82. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bob.
Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. A Ragtop Day is my favorite road trip tune. But before you put your convertible top down, you should know how to keep it up. When I come back, I'll give you the buzz.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars.
Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Roger Maharis did it on Route 66, and Jimmy Buffett perfected it on A1A. I'm talking about cruising with a top down, the perfect summer sport. For a major league convertible top, bathe it with car wash, never detergent. Use a soft cloth or sponge, except for plastic rear windows. They're so pliable that even a sponge will scratch. And save your elbow grease for your car. Waxing vinyl will dry it out. Instead, use a vinyl protectant. Now you're ready for championship cruising. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, we've got every single line here is open. Am I that entertaining tonight? You all just decided not to call in. We look for your phone calls here. 800-825-5937. While you are dialing, Clint sent this story to me. The Department of Homeland Security has laid off, get this, the Department of Homeland Security has laid off 27 border inspectors in Michigan just days before the Labor Day weekend, which is coming. That's one of Michigan's busiest times for border crossings, according to a union official. Homeland Security last week informed 27 inspectors in Michigan not to report for work. That's according to the president of Local 46 of the American Federation of Government Employees. Now, that's interesting to me because I thought that the Homeland Security thing was stripped of any sort of union affiliation. Gee, how did this group get through? But anyway, Frank Stanzik, who's the president of the local, said this compromises national security. If Labor Day coming and the United Nations building in Iraq being bombed just 10 days ago, my big fear is that security is being compromised. He went on to say they're taking away 27 seasoned inspectors right before the Labor Day weekend, which is one of our biggest border crossing periods. The timing couldn't be worse, end quote. See, this is infuriating. Where is the money for Homeland Security going? How much was appropriated by this filthy Republican Congress? How many of our tax dollars allegedly go to Homeland Security? And here they are laying people off? Kevin Weeks, who is the director of Homeland Security's field operations in Detroit, said the employees were put on an inactive status because funding for them ran out? He said, well, they'll be recalled when there is money? Oh, my God. Oh, he went on to say, this little punk shill for Tom Ridge, well, you know, the temporary manpower reductions is not going to affect safety or border crossing operations. Honest. You see, Bush needs another 911. Bush needs an attack somewhere. So, you know, he would be caught if he and his thugs engineered a second attack on this country. So, how do you get around it? Punch big holes in the so-called Homeland Security that we are paying dearly for. What was the budget for Homeland Security, Kathy? $30 billion? $20 billion? What the hell was it? So here are the people, and for you terrorists who are listening, here it is. You can get this out of the Detroit News, but I'll go ahead and fill you in. Removed from duty status are 8 inspectors in Sault Ste. Marie, 7 at the, that's way up in the Northern Peninsula, 7 at the Ambassador Bridge that links Windsor and Detroit, 6 at the Detroit-Windsor Tunnel, and 6 in Port Huron. The union guy, Frank Stanzik, president of Local 46, the American Federation of Government Employees, said he was really pissed off about the way the layoffs were handled. Stanzik said they called people at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday. That would be last Wednesday. And told them not to report to work at midnight. The laid-off inspectors asked if they could have something in writing. The Homeland Security dude said no. Unbelievable. And George Bush has the unmitigated gall to stand in front of any audience and talk about how his corrupt, filthy administration is protecting the homeland? Barry is calling from Ypsilanti, Michigan. Barry, welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening, Mike. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. By the way, you're listening online, right?
That's right.
We're going to be on a radio station in Ypsilanti, when, Kathy? 15th of September.
I heard you mention that a couple of days ago, and I was thrilled. I don't have to rush home and get here at 9 o'clock to turn on my computer anymore.
Oh, thanks for doing that.
hey, no problem. I love your show. Do you know what station that'll be?
I do, but I can't think of the call letters right now. We've got it here in the studio someplace. Hold on just a second. I think it is WSDS.
Okay. Okay, good.
Hey, I like those call letters, WSDS. I think we're also carried in by a station in North Carolina, WEED.
Oh, there you go.
I love some of these call letters. But WSDS, that sounds like a perfect station for us to be on. But that's not why you called.
No. I'm calling about school funding. I was a high school teacher for quite a while, and I teach college now.
Mm-hmm.
I just finished with my master's degree, and thank God, because have you seen what's going on with college tuition hikes?
It's miserable, especially for state schools where most of us get our education. Tuition rates are going off the chart.
Well, here in Michigan, our former pig governor, John Engler, left the state with a huge budget deficit, which, of course, is against the state constitution. I don't know why nobody's arresting him.
Yeah.
But this is against the state constitution, and our new Democratic governor, Granholm, has had to try and clean that up, and she's had to make some significant cuts to school funding. So tuition's going up, and class sizes are going up, and supplies are going down, and teachers are being laid off, believe it or not. But I was reading through a story that indicated that most European countries spend about 6% of their gross domestic product, their GDP, on education.
Right.
And I did some looking around, and federally anyway, we spend about 7%. So we're right up there in terms of spending, and of course our GDP is a lot better than many of the European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is coming out to about $75 billion federal dollars a year that go for education through college. That's not considering what the states and local, people contribute.
Right.
Now, of course, we know that defense spending is almost $500 billion, $500 billion, almost half of the entire federal budget.
Yeah, about 10 times what we spend on education.
Exactly. Right. But if we're, if we're spending, my question is, if we're spending, we're spending $760 billion on education between federal and state funds. My question is, where is this money going? We've got, like I said, tuition hikes at college are going up incredibly. At the primary and secondary level, we're building schools that look like Walmarts. We've got kids going to school in trailer classrooms, not enough supplies, not enough well-trained teachers, and some of this is No Child Left Behind, but the budget I mean, if you look at the budgets, where is this money going now? I mean, I think a lot of it's going into a bloated administration. And it, just for an example, the Detroit public schools, where only 50% of the students are actually graduating, which is about the same amount as the entire state of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about that, we've got a state where the young people, half of them are getting high school diplomas. And we're supposed to compete in a new 21st century global economy with that?
It's astonishing. And when you couple that with the fact that so many jobs, IT jobs, are being farmed out to companies in Russia, India, and China, what are our young people going to do? I mean, how are they going to make a living? How are they going to buy houses, start families? I share that fear with you and the awareness of what's going on here.
Well, you know, there's a great book out by Morris Berman. It's called The Twilight of American Culture, and it talks about how we're, you know, sort of in the end phase of our culture, and we're going to start our decline pretty soon. And a big portion of that is our citizenry is becoming increasingly ignorant and socially inept.
And not only that, but relying more and more on mythology and 14th century religious practices. It's witness what has happened in Alabama. Over the past few days, the belief that that the separation, for example, of church and state is just a myth. It's getting worse and worse. I know you're asking the questions rhetorically, or maybe hoping somebody in the audience will have an answer. Because Barry, there's no way that I have an answer to that. I don't know what to think.
Well, it's actually pretty sad, and I don't know if you know this, and hopefully we don't see more of this around the country, but I'm betting we will. Do you know that the Detroit Public School District has their own police force?
I'm not surprised. I did not know it.
They have their own police force. They have officers, cars.
Oh, my God.
Obviously, apparently, the Detroit Police Department can't patrol the schools, and there's enough crime in the schools that the public school system has to fund their own police force, while, you know, complaints of 20-year-old books and broken blackboards.
Their own police department. This sounds like a script for RoboCop. Remember that movie?
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that based in Detroit?
It was in Detroit. It absolutely was.
Oh, my God. It must be discouraging for you as a teacher.
It is. It is. I teach at the college level, but of course I'm an adjunct, which most of us are these days, which means we have three part-time jobs with no benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, you can forget tenure. That's going away. As soon as the tenured people retire, they replace them with two part-timers.
Well, I respect you, and I know a lot of people do, given the fact that you are willing to commit yourself to trying to educate young people. I'm astonished. One of Kathy's best friends is a school teacher here in the Atlanta metro area. She teaches art at the high school level, and some of her tales, her horror stories about and she teaches in one of the collar counties, allegedly, you know, the wealthy upper middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And it's astonishing the lack of education that these kids bring into even in a class in art. I don't know how you guys do it.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike, I've got college freshmen who in my classes want to be teachers, and they're college freshmen, and they can't accurately identify the Great Lakes. And that's just, you know, the tip of the iceberg.
I hear you. Well, Barry, I appreciate you calling in. I hear your frustration. Obviously, I have no answers. This is just a place to gather around and talk about stuff, right?
Yeah, I guess, and maybe vent a little.
Yeah. Barry, thanks for checking in.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot. And, hey, I'd love to be your Ypsilanti bureau chief when that comes online.
You can have it now.
Okay.
All right, Kathy, take note. Ypsilanti bureau chief Barry, when you call in, just mention the fact.
Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. Take care, sir.
Have a good night.
You too.
Become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. Dream, the one they fix, the one you know by.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You what? Hate
I don't
me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
And then education, we passed a great education bill. This is a good piece of legislation because it sets clear priorities. It encourages accountability so that no child is quit on.
Jesus, you can't make this stuff up. So no child is quit on. Our teacher and new bureau chief in Ypsilanti, Barry, struck a nerve here. Where is it? Well, kind of. Tom in Maryland wrote in, hey, Mike, a comment about the time it will take for young people to realize that Bush is not the person to die for. It may take quite a long time unless young people who actually give a damn revolt. It will take massive school walkouts as well as a politically friendly environment. Walkouts and public displays of dissent will get others wondering why they're pissed off. And trust me, one's peers are much more influential than any politician. The politically friendly environment refers to the terrible state of policies in public schools, where students as well as teachers have basically no voice. Yeah, I would imagine Barry would agree with that. When Barry was talking about, I realize that's a tired old horse to beat, the lack of education in this country and what passes for secondary education in this country. It reminded me when I went to school in Toledo, Ohio, elementary school and high school, and what reminded me of it was Barry said, you know, he's got students who want to be teachers and they can't even name the Great Lakes. When I don't know how old I was, what, seven? I don't know. But since I lived on one of the Great Lakes, Lake Erie, our geography teacher said, and this has stuck with me, 50 years, this has stuck with me. Well, almost 50. The Great Lakes, the first letter of the Great Lakes of each one of the five forms the word Holmes. H-O-M-E-S. Remember that, children. Holmes. Huron, Ontario, Michigan, Erie, Superior. Holmes. By God, it stuck, didn't it? And that's the way she talked. Fifth grade geography teacher. All right, I wasn't seven. Fifth grade, she carried a pointer. A long wooden stick. It was yellow. And she would slap the map. She had pull-down maps. You remember that? If you're of a certain age, you had pull-down maps in your geography class, right? Pull-down maps of the United States, of your home state, and of the world. And she would slam the pointer against the map. Norway! Sweden! Finland! Lapland! Remember that! By God, you remember. Portugal! Spain! Remember that! I guess it didn't. And this was not a Catholic school. This was a public school. From JB, Mike, the reason we won't see Bush at any funeral of our fallen soldiers is that it would call America's attention to the fact that his administration is responsible for the death of hundreds of young men and boys. The corporate media would be obliged to cover the funerals, and their focus groups told them long ago that showing death and destruction simply won't fly with the American public. Out of sight, out of mind. No death here. Move on. Nothing to look at. Never mind. From Irene. No, I'm sorry, from Ted. Dear Mike, if we had gone to D.C. to throw out the never-elected monkey, he's referencing my constant comments about Milosevic. Dear Mike, if we had gone to D.C. to throw out the never-elected monkey, we would have met the armed forces head-on. We would have seen an unending supply of rubber bullets, tear gas, and God knows what. The military here would never have sided with the people. Never. Because they are the property of the plutocracy. From Ted in Montana.
If jobs are the most important part of one of my jobs, how do we encourage people to hire more people?
We're singing his cowboy song. He loves too much. He got a knock that western accent with a Dixie touch. She was a riff on a rockaway. Singing his cowgirl boogie in the street.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
The safety of humanitarian aid workers in Iraq is a political football now at the United Nations. Mexico has introduced a resolution to the UN Security Council that would classify attacks on aid workers as war crimes, but the United States is blocking the resolution because it refuses to recognize the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. Meanwhile, the exodus of humanitarian groups and their staffs from Iraq continues. Most members of the Red Cross left the country this weekend, and the UK-based charity Oxfam evacuated its staff yesterday.
Workers at Yale University are on strike. The walkout of some 4,000 clerical, food service, custodial, and maintenance workers began just after midnight and is certain to cause havoc at the university just as students return to campus for the fall semester. Although the two unions of Yale workers recently dropped many of their core demands, including improved medical and dental coverage, the university is unwilling to accept salary increases that would bring Yale employees in line with workers at the University of Connecticut. Tom Gaudioso is a former president of HERE Local 35, representing blue-collar Yale workers.
I think the university just feels once again that the workers are not going to stand together, and I think we're going to surprise them again.
Both unions say they'll call off the strike if Yale agrees to send talks into binding arbitration, but so far university officials have refused.
It's been 1 week since 30,000 South Korean truck drivers went on strike protesting increased fuel taxes and tolls. The government has pledged not to let the strike get out of hand and is brandishing both the carrot and the stick. Arrest warrants have been issued for 8 union leaders, and fuel subsidies for striking truckers were cut off at midnight. At the same time, the government's promising to waive toll collection on truckers who go back to work.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. From Krista in Ohio. Mike, just a word or two to pass on to your Ypsilanti caller. That would be Barry. There was a very interesting piece in the New York Times over the weekend on the controversial new president at Harvard. He wants to increase the importance of the education college and bring it closer to the status of law, medicine, and other colleges. The piece is long and quite thought-provoking. I think Barry would like reading it. Krista in Ohio. There you go, Barry. Go to nytimes.com and find it. Education, and maybe you already read it. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Derek is calling from Syracuse, New York. Derek, this is your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I caught on to you from Salon.com story in May there.
Oh, yeah.
I've been hooked ever since. Regular.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you found the program. I'm glad you're calling in.
Well, you know, I don't call talk radio shows. I kind of have a little stage fright issue, but, you know, I'm feeling confident, and the more I listen, the more fired up I'm getting.
Well, you're among friends here, pal.
Well, that's good. That's always good.
Right.
Yeah, I called to talk about the job situation in Syracuse, but your teacher discussions, I just finally talked with my sister tonight, and she's been teaching her entire professional career for 16, 17 years. She just actually won a local board seat on a board of education.
Well, and, good for her. Primary or secondary education, you know, elementary or high
elementary,
school?
Elementary. And even daycare services, and she's always been active on those issues.
Mm-hmm.
She just got the school board she was elected to is actually an entire school district, Jordan Elbridge School District, which is just outside of Syracuse as well.
Uh-huh.
And anyhow, I haven't been able to talk to my family. They're kind of on the other side of this issue with the war in Iraq. And I finally got some time alone with her tonight. And it's funny because although she wants, not funny, funny, haha, but funny in the way that, you know, on the big issue, she's finally, she's saying things like, oh, I don't have the answers. No, I'm not sure what's right. You know, and she wanted to talk about Clinton, of course, instead of the current administration. But she really listened to a lot of the things I had to say, and it's the first time, you know, anyone in my family's done that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, since this has started. And I basically stay away from the topic with them normally.
Sure.
But essentially, when she talks about an issue like education, she threw in this aside, saying, well, he certainly has, you know, gutted the educational system with his proposals with No Child Left Behind, and that's really all she said. But for her to say something like that really spoke volumes. And in her area, I think a lot of people that may support Bush in some ways, whenever you talk to them in their area of expertise, they don't have a lot of good things to say.
You know, as you're talking, I'm just wondering if intelligent people, obviously, like your sister, if it is pointed out to them, what you just said, that in their field, Bush has been a total liar and a destroyer, if they can think beyond their own particular field, look at employment in general, look at the environment, look at U.S. foreign policy, any area that government, federal government involves itself in has been destroyed, mutilated beyond belief by the Bush crime family. And I wonder, as you're talking, I just wonder if your sister is willing to take a look beyond, her area.
It sounds like she's starting to. It's just when she did get on the subject, she said, well, there's not really a viable alternative. And, of course, then I jumped in and said, well, I do like a lot of what Dean's saying. I picked Dean out because he seems to me to be a more centrist candidate than a lot of the Democrats that she might have issue with.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Howard Dean might make a great president, but he's not a liberal.
Exactly.
By any definition, he's not a liberal. He might make a good president. I just wonder, no offense here, don't misunderstand this, no offense to your sister, but I wonder how many people in Germany in the late 20s and into the mid-30s used to think, well, there's no viable alternative. Look, they attack the Bundestag. We have to have Chancellor Hitler because he'll bring order. You know, I just wonder how many people felt that. Decent human beings who were terrified by what was going on in their country.
Oh, she certainly has bought into the fear aspect. I mean, she talked a lot about 9/11, and she talked a lot about how that's changed everything. I mean, she certainly has bought that rhetoric, and it has helped prevent her from seeing some of the larger truths, I think, or at least delay her arrival, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think that has been one of the most successful gambits of this administration. And spinning that fear and pressing it whenever they can.
Oh my God, yes. That is the centerpiece of this entire corrupt administration, is to hold the population of this country in a state of utter and unrelenting fear.
Right.
So they're very good at that sort of manipulation. Well, listen, I'm glad you found this program, Derek. I'm glad you called in. I hope you'll call again.
I will talk next time about the job situation. We never did get to it.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, bye.
All right, thank you, sir. Yeah, okay, I know. It's not the Bundestag. It was the Reichstag. Well, it is, about 20 minutes before midnight here in the East. Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
It seems like jobs has come up a couple of times, and I noticed in some of your monologue that you've been spending time at some of the same Atlanta Journal-Constitution articles I have about the situation in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was an interesting article, though, in my neck of the woods, which is Texas, that came out in the Austin American Statesman on Monday. And the state has gone back and counted up the tally of jobs lost.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the high-tech high-paid, white-collar sector. No other jobs included. Got some numbers for you.
Okay.
2001-2002, 112,474 private industry jobs lost.
Oh, my God.
That accounts for $2.2 billion in private industry wages, a drop of 10.3% just for Dallas alone. Now, remember, that's just high-tech, high-wage jobs. That doesn't include anything else.
Did you by chance read, I think it was today's Journal Constitution, about the exporting of white-collar jobs now going to India, going to Russia?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I have my own private email list. I've sent you things in the past as well.
Yes, you have.
But I found an article back in May from the India Times where it was reported that local government officials had secured private assurances from the Bush administration that they would do nothing to stem the flow of outsourced jobs.
If you didn't send that to me, I read it somewhere. In the article in today's international business section of the Journal Constitution, they do it every Wednesday, the article said that in these IT people in India work and are happy to for $7 an hour.
Right.
The comparable wage in this country is $45 an hour.
Exactly.
And it's just astonishing to me that this exporting of American, this hemorrhaging of American jobs, you know, here up to the immediate past, it's been, you know, the blue collar guys that took it in the chops, you know. Now it's the white collar people who are also getting it in the groin, and I just wonder how much more of this the American people are going to tolerate.
Well, I don't know. I will say this: I've called and said in the past, I've been employed for a long time now. And my latest tally is 1,426 resumes out the door.
Oh, my God.
And I have my resume posted at over 100 online job boards. And I've just had some magnetic signs made for the sides of my car that say, I need a job, with some quick particulars and my telephone number. So every time I drive around, somebody will see that I'm unemployed.
Oh, geez, Mark.
What else can you do?
Yeah, it's
The conclusion I'm coming to, based on the statistics that I found in that article I mentioned in the Austin American Statesman, is that people like myself who are college educated will never be able to secure similar positions. And it's interesting in terms of what that means for the society at large, because it affects the economy in some really strange ways. And I'll give you a couple of vignettes.
Okay.
I'm not married, have no kids, and no mortgage, so I'm relatively lucky by most standards, which means my overhead's very low. One of my hobbies, though, is playing the piano, and I go out to the local piano stores and buy some sheet music every once in a while. In the last month, I've had two elderly piano salesmen, people who've been in the industry 30 years plus. I've gotten in conversation with them, and I said, how are things going? I said, well, not good. And I said, what do you think about the economy and the present? You know, every time a Republican gets in office, the economy goes to you-know-where, both of them, unsolicited. And it makes sense. They're on the front line of sales. They work on commission, you know, for relatively a high-dollar, you know, item. Very interesting.
Well, I know you've told us before, but tell us again what, and by us, I'm not using the royal us, I mean the people that listen to this program, what do you do?
Well, last paying jobs were in telecom.
So that industry has just been butchered.
Which was one of the major industries here in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah. Well, stay in touch. I appreciate your phone calls, Mark. I hope things change. I know that's as weak as yesterday's tea, but I do hope things change.
I just keep putting out the word in my own way like you do, Mike, and hopefully we can change enough fence centers to get this guy out of office.
I hear you.
Take care.
All right, Mark. Thanks. You know, and you think about the people you know, like one of the most highly trained internet people I know is our WhiteRoseSociety.org's founder and webmaster over there, Ben, in Elgin, Illinois, who sent me, as one of the people he sent it to, his resume over the internet, you know, emailed it. Jesus, I mean, this guy could probably build, Ben could probably on his own build the guts to an interstellar rocket, if it were, you know, the computer technology necessary, the guidance systems, the stabilizing systems, that's his experience. And he's struggling to find work, just like Mark. Just like so many people, I have never in my life seen or heard of so many highly educated, super qualified, talented people in this country who, as a result of this filthy Bush crime family, find themselves not just unemployed, but almost unemployable because of their training, their intensive, high-skilled training. It's just, I don't know. I can't think of a word. I think about the people who historically take it in the chops, take it in the neck. You know, the laborer, the factory worker, the blue collar dude, the blue collar woman. The workers who have struggled and struggled and struggled. You know what I'm talking about. Anything, any movie Michael Moore has ever produced, you know. He focuses because that's his background. That's my background. There wasn't a single person in my neighborhood as a kid growing up, the parents of the kids I grew up with, who were anything more or less than factory workers. We had an occasional school teacher, but mostly factory workers. And there was it was a more stable economy all those years ago. At least it seemed like it. But as this horrible Bush crime family destroys first the lower level of the economy, and by the lower level I mean my people, okay? And I don't make any bones about this. That's the background I come out of, blue collar. They take it first. And then you get into the mid-level of management. Then you get into the real white-collar dudes, the highly and women, the highly trained, like Mark, like Ben, highly trained, highly skilled. I think about, well, hell, my brother, right, Kathy? My brother, who double masters, missed his Ph.D. by virtue of the fact that one of the eight professors that gave him his orals didn't like him. But my brother has worked in the killing industry in California. He's part of the defense industry. My brother, during the Reagan years, worked on the guidance system of the MX missile. Okay? He was one of the project people. It was with Hughes Aircraft. We used to just have horrendous screaming fights about that. But my brother has been unemployed now for what, Kathy? Going on 2 years. Double masters, God knows how many undergraduate degrees he picked up along the way. An absolute expert, and continues to have to take further courses in computer languages to try to work back into the death industry. I guess he wants to stay in the death industry. He never did like communists very much. But it just goes on and on and on and on. And again, I wonder how long. What has to happen in this society where the American people say, you know what, we've had enough. We've had enough of this Bush administration. We have had enough of these bastards. What's it going to take? How many dead bodies? How many lost jobs? How many uneducated children? How much despoiling of the environment? How much filth do we have to breathe? How many more deals do we have to see cut with mining and nuclear industries and companies that want to denude the forest, you know, to sink wells in the Rocky Mountains, for God's sake, to benefit who? Bush's cronies. How much? You know, how much? What is it? Where's the tipping point? I have no idea. I'm astonished. The cable television networks will focus hours, Jesus, hours on a chunk of granite with some scribbling on it put there by a religious freak. In the judicial, why am I screaming? In the judicial building in the state of Alabama, hour upon hour upon hour. Where's the discussion? about what the Bush crime family is doing to this country. Where is it?
Every child had a pretty good shot to get at least as far as their own man got. Something happened on the way to that place. They threw in the mirror, the crack in our faces. When we're living here.
Hey, Mom, here's some good news. Tax rebate checks are here just in time for back-to-school shopping. And Sears will cash your tax rebate check free of charge with any purchase. Here's some more good news. Right now, during the Sears Great 3-Day Sale, save 50% on great back-to-school items throughout the store. Plus, all jeans are on sale. Brands like Levi's, Lee, Canyon River Blues, LEI, Bongo, and Mud. So hurry in now through Saturday. You don't want to miss the Great 3-Day Sale. 3-day sale ends August 16th. All jeans on sale through August 30th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Sears. Good life. Great price.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my charge?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country, one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
A working class hero is something to be.
Yeah, you go, George.
When they've tortured and scared you for 20-odd years, then they expect
5 before the hour.
Pick a career.
Art is calling from Tucson, Arizona. Art, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling?
It is, Mike.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Thanks. God, I just got to thank you for all you're doing. This, you are so needed right now, and this word has to get out.
Well, well, thank you for saying that, but of course this program, 90% of it is the callers.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that, but you're it. You really are.
Well, thank you.
Mike, I wanted to just offer a thought for you about what is it going to take to get people to wise up. I think that this administration is smart in the scariest possible way, where they've created, like you said, this culture of fear, where you could have a blue-collar worker laid off. He's sitting at home, no paycheck. The economy is just in the hole. And yet he'll still vote for Bush because of him being tough on terrorism or protecting the American way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. And this is where media have totally failed us in this country.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. A friend of mine came up with a term that I really liked. The American people right now are aggressively ignorant, which I love. I just think a lot of people just want to be ignorant about it. They don't want to look at the facts.
I like that better than mine. Mine is willfully ignorant. But I think we've gone from willfully ignorant to aggressively ignorant. I like that better.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about the soldiers dying in Iraq. They don't want to deal with any of that. And I can't stand it anymore. I'm going crazy about this.
I know. I know. I hear you. I'm just hoping. So am I going crazy about it.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that hundreds of thousands, millions of Americans will start to feel the same way.
Yeah.
And the damage done by this thug will end on Election Day in 2004. I mean, what else are we going to do? What else can we hope for?
I know.
And to work, you know, it's beyond, it's not just hope, it's working toward that end, supporting whatever political candidate to oppose this thug that we want. Kucinich, Dean, Kerry, I don't care. Just to get this guy out of office. I think the survival of this nation depends on that. Hey, listen, thanks, Art. We're out of time. I'm glad you found the program. I hope you'll call again.
You bet, Mike. Thanks.
All right, sir. Take care. Whoosh. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Our webmaster, Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com. A lot of thanks to Jim, our Arkansas Music Bureau Chief. And remember, RadioPower.org needs your support, okay? I don't beg a lot, but I am on this one. RadioPower.org. Check it out. I'll see you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius.